So good to be in God's house. No place I'd rather be tonight, amen. Appreciate Pastor for allowing me to step behind this desk, this anointed desk, to preach God's word. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and we'll get right into God's word. Wonderful service we had this morning, amen, church. So good to be in God's house today. I'm so glad that my God rides on the flood and he rides on the water, amen. There's nothing too impossible for him, huh? Matthew chapter 27 tonight, if you want to stand with me real quick. Couple verses, verse 50 and 51, as you turn in there tonight. Verse 50 says, "Then Jesus shouted again, and he released his spirit." Verse 51 says, "At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened." To help the Lord tonight, I want to speak to you on the thought, a tale of two halves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this opportunity to come to your house, Lord. This is your day. And Lord, we thank you for the worship and the musicians, Lord, and everything, Lord, to get us to this point, Lord. Father, we pray right now, Lord, as we break the bread, Lord, that, Father, you will have your way. Pray for your anointing, God. The word is already anointed, but God, I pray you anoint me. Help me to preach your word, Lord. Open up our eyes, our ears, and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. If you've been around me long enough, you might discover that I like sports just a little bit. No, actually, I like it a lot. But, I mean, my wife has to get on to me all the time, says you need to watch a little bit more football. Actually, it's the other way around. I probably watch too much football. But I do like sports. And how many times have you seen your football team especially, getting whipped in the first half, only to come out in the second half and turn it around and win the ball game? I believe Oklahoma did that yesterday for the OU fans. Especially great when that's your team, right? When you come back and you win the second half. I wish I could say that I've seen this happen from Arkansas, but unfortunately, when they get off the bus nowadays, the game's over, and they've already lost the game. We're praying that Lord Terry's just come, and that's going to change. I see Brother Kel will be back there laughing and having a good time. That's okay, brother. But when this happens to our teams are getting beaten. We come back in the second half. They often tell that this is a tale of two halves. First half, the team was getting beat. Second half, they come back and win. And oh, how sweet it is when your team comes back and win. Tonight, church, you and I are living in the second half. We're living on this side of grace, amen? We are living on this side of grace. And thank you, Jesus, for that. You see, Jesus went to the cross and he died and then he rose. And the first half didn't look so good for mankind. The first half didn't look as great. But here we are in the second half. Adam and Eve, from the very first quarter, they fumbled as soon as the opening kickoff took place. I'm going to kind of compare with a football game here and use my imagination a little bit. But as soon as the kickoff happened, Adam and Eve no more received the ball and they fumbled it, right? In the Garden of Eden, when the snake came in, the serpent came in, and it caused them to take part of the fruit. And from that point on, things just kept piling up, sin after sin. You ever notice when a football team fumbles, then they fumble again sometimes, and pretty soon the game's out of control. That's what happens. Same thing happened here in the first half with mankind. Sin became rampant and became to the point that God almost pulled the plug and he almost forfeited it. But he found a righteous man in Noah. The Bible says that Noah was a righteous man. And God was ready to pull the plug. But if it wasn't for Noah and his family, and he spared him, and he started again through Noah's family. And then along came another great quarterback. Remember, we're comparing with football here. Another great quarterback in Abraham. Abraham stepped on the scene, and God used him mightily and promised him a land of his own and a tribe of his own, a descendants of his own. And there was a rally as God blessed Abraham and his family. In fact, there were two more great quarterbacks that come from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And mankind rallied again. And then those guys left the field and left and went on. And then we get Moses, who ends up becoming a Hall of Famer, so to speak. Moses comes on the scene, and he leads his children of Israel out of Egypt. Great victories. And they come out and to form their own country. And Moses is a mighty man of God. And then, again, there's a huge rally. And they make great plays and have great victory. I'm going to have to come up with a different place of notes because I cannot pick these notes up with my hands. I'm going to have to buy me a tablet or something and get modern age here. But once Moses leaves the game, mankind once again started to get pounded. Moses came on the scene and did great things. Children of Israel did great things. But when Moses died, it says that there was a generation that rose up that didn't know who God was. And we see this pattern happen time and time again. A great player would rise up like Samson, or even King David, or even King Hezekiah, all throughout the Old Testament. And there'd be mighty men, even women, mighty women. Deborah would come to the scene, and yet then they would go back down to mankind. So the first half didn't look so good. Time was running out. You know, in a football game, you have a first half and a second half. You have a first quarter, second quarter. Then there's halftime, third quarter and fourth quarter. So this first half, it was nearing the end of the second quarter towards halftime. And time didn't look, and it didn't look so good as time was running out. Then a man came on the scene who looked like he stepped out of Woodstock in 1969. John the Baptist, a wild man. And he begins to make some plays. He begins to turn things around a little bit. In fact, lo and behold, this man has a cousin named Jesus. You know, time's running out here. It's about halftime. But this man called Jesus begins to make some incredible plays. He doesn't look like anything normal than anybody else. He doesn't look anything different. And suddenly this man heals women and children. Men and women are delivered. Demons are cast out. People's lives are changed. Suddenly there's a rally right before halftime. And this makes the opposing team very mad. See, the opposing team has a coach named Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the serpent. And he doesn't like it too much when he's getting the saints of God begin to rally. He especially doesn't like it when the Son of God begins to stir things up a little bit. You see, Satan had everything just where he wanted it from the time Adam and Eve sinned. He had everything going just the way he wanted it. And suddenly Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to make some noise. And right before halftime, Satan has to do something about it. Not wanting to go down at halftime with Jesus and his followers getting momentum. You see, when a team gets momentum right before halftime, a lot of times it propels them through halftime. And they come up out on fire. You hear the announcer say, when they come out in the third quarter, this team's on fire. A lot of times you don't want a team to gain momentum right before halftime. And so Satan knew this, and he needed to have a counterattack. So he draws a heavy blow to get Jesus out of the game. Satan and all his powers of hell bull rush, and they blitz Jesus with the crucifixion. You know anything about football, you know what a blitz is. You know what a bull rush is. All your defensive linemen just go all together at the quarterback, just bull rush him and overpower him, overpower the offensive line to sack the quarterback. That's what Satan did. He bull rushed him. Hit him so hard and so fast, let me remind you of the replay of what happened there. Whipped him 39 times with a cat of nine tails. He was beaten 39 times. The Roman soldiers used a cat of nine tails. It was a whip that had bone and pieces of metal and sharp objects, anything they could find to put in and intertwine in this whip. And they used it to whip our Lord and Savior's back and split his back open. They pulled his beard. They spit into his face. And they slapped him. How many of us like to be slapped? You know, when I play around with my kids a little, sometimes, you know, they're just playing and one of them will slap me on accident. Or now that they're teenagers, they try to do it. And boy, man, I get bald. Nobody likes to be slapped, right? Nobody likes. How about spit on? But that was our Lord and our Savior. That's what the enemy was doing to him. He slapped him down. He took a crown of thorns and crushed it down on his skull as blood flowed. They bull rushed him. They sacked him. They nailed him to a tree, to an old dogwood tree, an old rugged cross. And then he was crucified, the most horrendous death that anybody could do. The Romans created this to make this to be a scene that you wouldn't do it. If you were crucified, to put the fear that this is what was going to happen to you, it was the worst death possible. And they crucified our Lord and our Savior. Then they laid him in a tomb. And the first half ended with Satan and his demons jumping up and down on the sidelines like the game was over. Can you just see him? I mean, if you're a sports fan and the team you're playing against, or the team you're rooting for in the other team, especially if it's a team you don't like, begins to gloat. Boy, if you have any kind of competitive in you, you begin to rise up. And that's what Satan was doing. He had defeated it, what looked like he defeated Jesus on the cross. And the halftime, the first half was over. No doubt he was having the victory lap, thinking what he was going to do. Oh, but church, that was just the first half. That was just the first half. First half didn't end so well. But you see, halftime was going on, while they were in the locker room with their heads down and defeated with no hope, like teams do sometimes. You get into halftime and you've been getting your daylight's beaten out of you, and you get into halftime, and there's no hope. And then along comes a coach or somebody and says, hey, we can do this. We can get this together. As they were at halftime, defeated with no hope, there was a signal that the second half would start different. The Bible says that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Notice it wasn't torn from the bottom to the top, because man could do that. We could rip it, but it was torn from the top to the bottom. That was a signal that things were going to be different in the second half. It wasn't going to be like the first half. Our hope, Jesus Christ, marched down to the enemy's camp, and he took back what Satan had stolen from Adam and Eve. You see, when Jesus died, he went down into the enemy's camp, and he went back to where the enemy was, and he knocked on the enemy's door, and he said, Satan, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but he said, you owe something, I have something that is, you have something that is mine. And can you see, oh, Satan gloating? There's an old Carmen song. Anybody, any Carmen fans in the house? There's an old Carmen song talking about that, about Sunday's on the way, I believe it is, where the old enemy's just gloating, just having a party. And here Jesus is, and he knocks on the door. And can you imagine Satan just bragging, thinking he has everything? But when Jesus walks into the room and demands the enemy to give back what he has, stolen from him, it wasn't his. Jesus went to the enemy's camp, and he brought back what Adam and Eve had fumbled, and he grabbed it back, and he took it back. The keys of life and death, he took back those keys that Satan had stolen, and there Satan stood trembling. And that was halftime. Our resurrection morning came, the start of the second half. Church, the first half's over. When the first half doesn't end so well, you have a halftime. You can start over. You get a new, fresh start. It's time for a new, fresh start, and that's what resurrection morn was. The start of the second half, as the players were coming out of the locker room, heading to the tomb, not knowing what to do because this man, Jesus, was dead. Remember the story. The disciples were nowhere to be found. It was Mary and Mary, and they came to the place of the tomb, coming to anoint the body of Jesus, their heads down a little bit, defeated. But suddenly things began to change, because you know what? The tomb was empty. That's all it takes in the third quarter, teams to begin to rally, make a play here, put a new quarterback in. Something happens, a spark. Suddenly the team says, you know what? We can do this. We can rally. Here these ladies begin, they come to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And the angel said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. There's not a dead person here. He's alive. He's resurrected. And I began to rally. They went to, and they began to get the disciples, Peter and John. And the Bible says that John outran Peter, but Peter walked in. And suddenly there was momentum. The second half was going to change. You see, Jesus took, he was resurrected. You talk about a momentum change. Jesus took all hell could unleash and defeated Satan once and for all. You see, church, tonight, Jesus took all Satan had to unleash. He took everything that he had, and he still rose. Amen. He took all of our sins, all of our ugliness, all the things that cause us, all the wickedness in this world. He took it all upon him, and he still defeated Satan by resurrecting. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Satan, where are you bragging now? You're not on the sideline bragging anymore. Instead, you're tucking tail and you're running, because my Savior is alive. Amen. He's defeated you once and for all. The third quarter is going to look a little bit different than the first quarter. That right there, we ought to make us break out into our fight songs. You know what your fight song is for your school? I don't know what OU's is, but I know what the Razorbacks' fight song is. Hit that line, keep on moving. Move that ball right down the field. Give a cheer, rah, rah, never yield. Arkansas, I messed it up, but you know what it is. But what about our fight songs in the church? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Church, we ought to be singing these, amen? My Savior, oh, victory in Jesus. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Those are our fight songs. When you watch your favorite football team and they begin to rally, man, you begin to get excited. I've been to a Razorback game, and when they win, they don't win much anymore, but when they've won, man, the team gets excited. At the end of the game, the players run over to the student section. They begin to sing the alma mater, and they begin to sing and break out in victory Tonight, church, we can break out in victory because we have the victory. Amen. We can sing these songs of praise. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. You see, church, the second half is a little bit different. We have the victory because of Jesus. We can get out of bed tomorrow, even though it's a yucky Monday morning. Nobody likes Monday mornings. If you do, something's wrong with you. Amen? Nobody likes them. Why? Because we have to go to work, and we have to make a living. And even though we're thankful for that, it's still rough getting up in the morning. But church, we can get up, and we can face old Monday morning, no matter what time it is, no matter what the weather is. We can face old Monday morning because Jesus Christ is alive, amen? Because He lives. We have hope. We have hope tonight because He lives. We can face all of life's storms because He lives. We have a hope even if it seems like you've been sacked too many times. Maybe it seems like you've been sacked by the enemy too many times. We have hope tonight because Jesus Christ is alive. The second half is different than the first half because He lives. Even when it looks like this game is getting out of hand and an enemy is running up the score, just remember the outcome has already been determined and we win. Tonight, church, the outcome's already been determined. You read in the book of Revelations, it tells me that my Savior wins. Amen. It tells me that the enemy is defeated. Not only was He defeated at the cross when Jesus took on our sins, but He was defeated when He was resurrected. When Jesus resurrected, the enemy was defeated, and He's going to be defeated when Jesus Christ has the final say and kicks Him into the lake of fire. I want a ticket right there. I want to do some kicking myself. Amen. I hope the Lord, it didn't say this in Revelation, but I hope the Lord lets each and every one of us take turns kicking Him like a field goal right into the lake of fire where He deserves it. Just remember the outcome is determined and we win. Hold on, saints of God. Keep fighting. Stay in the fight until the final round. You know, in boxing, if you can just stay in the fight until the final round. Anybody like Rocky movies? Anybody like those? Oh, Rocky, he would get in there. And Rocky, he wasn't the strongest puncher, but he could take hit after hit and round after round. And we know it's Hollywood and make-believe, but round after round, he would just stay in there until the final round, and then he would make his move. Church, stay in the final until the final round. Keep taking hit after hit. You can take those through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Reading in the book of Revelations, the highlights tells us exactly what's going to happen. In sports, especially if my team wins, I like to turn on and watch all the highlight stations. And I can just sit there and watch it over and over. But when they lose, I don't watch it. I won't even watch it. Just boycott it. But when they win, I can't get enough. I want to see all the highlights. Check my phone, whatever it is. Tonight, church, we can check the highlights out by reading in Revelation, and we can see exactly what happened. You read that last book, and it tells you Satan's going to take a swim in a place called the Lake of Fire. Real quick in closing tonight, because the veil was torn tonight, church, you and I now have unlimited access to the throne of God. We love things that are unlimited, amen? Unlimited cell phone minutes, teenagers love that. I remember a couple years ago when we finally got into the modern age and got unlimited cell phones, my kids thought it was Christmas for 100 years and went crazy. We had so many limits on our phone, and they kept going over it and over it. So we finally just said, we're going to have to do something with five kids. Three of them have cell phones. We're going to have to get unlimited access. And you thought they'd hit the lottery. And you talk about how many minutes they use. Teenagers are crazy how many they can use in a day. How many would sign up for unlimited gasoline? Nobody? Two, three? How many? Should be all. I mean, gasoline is not cheap, church. We'd sign up for that, right? Unlimited food, unlimited whatever it may be. I mean, I would. We like unlimited things. Tonight, church, we have we would sign up for things with no strings attached, no hurdles to jump over. Don't you just love it when you see stuff and it says, get this free, but then there's the fine line where you have to read and says, but you got to do this. But church, we like things that are free, things that are no hurdles. But church, that's what we have tonight when we live on this side of grace in the second half. Is we have unlimited access. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Church, we no longer need a priest to go to us before the Holy of Holies, but you and I can go unlimited at any time. We don't need a priest like the Catholic Church is mistakenly thinking tonight, church. We don't need a priest from the Levitical tribe or the Aaronic tribe of the Levites to go before us, to go before the Holy of the Holies. But the Bible says the veil was torn in two. You and I can go anytime, anywhere, any place. It doesn't have to be here at the church, even though, like Brother Heston talked about this morning, we need these altars, but we can make an altar anywhere, and we need to have a place anytime, driving down the road at work. We can go to the Heavenly Father. You know, if we were to call President Trump tonight, none of us would get through. None of us would get, we probably couldn't even get through to the mayor here in Siloam Springs without a little red tape. But you and I can go to the master of the universe, the one who created all this world. We can go instantly to him because of an unlimited access because of the throne. Church, we no longer need a priest, but we can partake of the unlimited access to the throne of God 24/7. 365 days a year. All we got to do is cry out, Abba, Father. There's no waiting. Going to the doctor, you have to wait, right? You're on their time. Going to the dentist, you have to wait. Making appointments, you have to wait. You don't have to wait with Jesus. In the middle of the night, when your baby's sick with fever, you just cry out, Jesus. When you're drunk in a back alley, nowhere to go, cry out, Jesus. When you're lost, there's no waiting. You're immediately accessed into this throne room of God. Because the second half is a little bit different than the first half, church. The first half looked like defeat, but the second half tonight, there's victory. We have access to the God of the universe. And church tonight, if you'll stand with me tonight, the second half is winding down. We had the first half, and it came to a close when Jesus died on the cross and the resurrection and halftime. Then started the new church, and we're living in the days of grace. And if anybody can look around and see that there's already been a third quarter, again, talking about a football game, right? We're in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. The game's fixing to be over. We don't know when that time clock is going to end, when the horn's going to sound. It could happen at any minute. But church tonight, as we're winding down, we have a hope. And we know that our outcome is going to be great because we know the quarterback. We know the Savior. He's greater than any quarterback that's ever walked. We have a hope tonight, church. Any moment, Jesus could come back and take us home and this game's over. Where will you be tonight? If you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This game of life, Lord. God, that you are the victory. That God, you've given us victory. Lord, that Father, you went to the cross. Lord, that you died, but you rose, defeating death and hell and the grave. Lord, I praise you and thank you tonight for your power. Lord, have your way tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight if maybe you're here and the enemy, switching gears just a little bit, maybe the enemy has just ransacked you like a football game, sacked you and sacked you and sacked you and put you down and got you to the place where you just feel like you're ready to quit and give up. If that's you tonight, could I simply encourage you and tell you that you have a hope, even though you've been sacked, even though you've been left down for a defeat, there is victory tonight. If that's you tonight, if I'm talking to you, could you just simply slip out of your seat and make your way down to this altar, and we're going to pray for you. Is that you tonight? Maybe the enemy's come in like a flood, and he's hounded you and pounded you and sacked you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Tonight, we have the victory. Is that you tonight? Real quickly, anybody. Real quickly. Anybody tonight? Man, appreciate this honesty tonight. Anybody else? Enemies just ransacked it. We have the victory. The first half doesn't look good. We know what the second half looks like. The second half is victory. Anybody else tonight, church? The enemy's a liar. Don't believe the lies that he tells. You have the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and he plunged me. Amen. Church, anybody else? It would be good to come down and pray around these altars. Pray for those that are down here tonight. If you have the victory, pray for others that don't tonight. Amen.
gave his life on Calvary to save the wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the my love is to him.
Tonight and all you're talking about is boxing and football, you missed the point. Hello? Because the greatest point is we got the victory in Jesus Christ, and that's who we need to leave here talking about. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory. And if you missed it somewhere and you felt left out because it was Brother Aaron was talking about football and baseball, if you'll slip me a note what you like to be talk about, and if you want me to preach on Barbie or tea parties, just let me know. We'll see if we can't work it in, because we don't want you to feel left out. And anyway, hello, I just want to talk about Jesus. Amen. Sister Brenda, did you want to make your announcement?
Looking forward to Saturday evening at 5. Hope all you ladies can come to our Christmas party. The theme this year is Happy Birthday, Jesus. So bring a dish, your favorite finger food, whatever you want to eat. If you want to participate in the gift exchange, bring something between the price of $15 to $20. What am I leaving out, Gail? That's about it, she said. So look for you Saturday evening at 5.
Hallelujah. You love the Lord? God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake hands and be friendly.